Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. Yeah, I asked for, I'm preparing for a month of all business. I'm going to be down in West Palm Beach engaging in some meetings down in West Palm Beach in the month of February. Eric the Tech will accompany me some of the time, part of the time. Folks, it's time to get down to business because we are entering into the most dangerous and perilous times in American history. So when I went to the hairstylist, I said, give me the angry Doug look. Prepare for battle look. Yeah, this is what I came away with. And I could have done that with a Flowbee. Eric the Tech, how you doing, sir? Did you have a good weekend?
I did.
Good.
Cold
as you know what. But my change in latitude is going to be, I'm going to try to sneak in some R&R there. And people who know me, look, I can spend 15 minutes in the sun and I look like somebody from, you know, the Middle East. Okay, I'm telling you. But it's going to be all business. That's coming up the first week of February. I was talking with Steve Quayle about that today. And we had a good conversation. I'm going to talk out of school here. We got some potential for some meetings set up. As long as I and Eric the Tech can pass the Secret Service clearance, get approval from Secret Service. Hey, take from that what you will. We will still have our supporters meeting on the first Sunday. I believe that's a fourth. I'm not sure. Whatever day that is in February. But it's going to be it's going to be a lot of business, a lot of meetings, talking to a lot of people. And yes, Mar-a-Lago is in the it's in the sights. And you know, as well it should be, given the circumstances, DeSantis dropping out, Nikki Haley to follow, I guarantee it, dark money behind Nikki Haley. Going to be getting into that and more as the program unfolds. But before I do, you know, if you're dealing with digestive issues, and folks, look, I know a lot of people who are, and this is the root cause of a lot of problems. Digestive issues, this is caused by a potential toxin that's in all of the supposed healthy foods that we're given, right? That scientists have been telling us for years, see, with fraudulent food pyramid that we've been saddled with. Well, this potential toxin causes digestive issues, according to Dr. Gundry, a world-renowned cardiologist. And by the way, okay, I'm going to tell you right now, as a guy with metal in my heart, okay, there's a relationship there, okay? This is affecting millions of people nationwide. Now, warning signs include weight gain, fatigue, digestive discomfort, stiff joints, and even, yes, skin problems. Now, Dr. Gundry, and you may not like to watch videos and stuff, but I do recommend watching this. Dr. Gundry explains these side effects. They're often mistaken for normal signs of aging because digestive issues develop over a matter of years and sometimes even decades. I'm telling you, this is true. I can assure you that the damage is probably caused by these health foods, and it's far from normal. I actually slapped a certain health food out of my wife's hand this past weekend. I didn't slap it out. I just gently removed it. The good news, look, You can easily help fix the problem from your own home. It's really simple. You just have to know. You got to know which foods are actually healthy and which contain this hidden potential toxin. So you can find this for yourself at gutcleanseprotocol.com/Hagman. That's gutcleanseprotocol/Hagman. The link will be in the program description box below. Just check that link. Watch that video. I know some people have an aversion to watching that kind of stuff, but I'm telling you, it works. All right. Now, as we enter into this most dangerous time in modern history, and I do mean this sincerely, I want to show you something. I don't know whether you saw this. I don't know how many people have picked this up. But I saw this on X, formerly known as Prince, Twitter. Okay, yeah, I saw this on X. And immediately, I looked at, there are two pictures side by side. This was a message by Alexander Pencil Neck Geek, Dirtbag Scumbag, spawn of Satan himself, Alexander Soros. I want to show you this. Because to me, and here's why. You may say, well, this is nothing. Or this is whatever. It's irrelevant. There's so much more to talk about than this. No, not that. Not that. I'll get to that in a sec. I'll tell you what, my show prep just went out the flipping window, didn't it? I'll get to that in a sec. This is actually page one on your show notes. And by the way, folks, go to HagmanPI.com and click on the episode title, and it'll open all of the resources I've put together for today's episode. And let me ask one other thing. Please subscribe to Rumble, Brighteon. Please bookmark HagmanPI. I'm going to be doing a lot more with all of the above. Anyway, this is what I wrote back to Alex Soros. This scumbag, piece of crap, Alex Soros. Now, I'm going to give you my response first, and then I'm going to show you the picture that was attached to his tweet. Or X message post, whatever you call it. I told him, I said, this is a veiled threat. It's a threat, Alex. And many more can and perhaps will play, in quotation marks, by your rules or lack thereof. There are more of us than there are of you. Now, if you can, click on Eric the Tech, click on his message. All right, scroll down and look at those pictures. Now, Eric the Tech, look, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to anyway.
I miss our old bills.
Well, you should have a pocket full of them instead of using the plastic or Apple Pay or whatever you use, because otherwise we don't have the privacy. But anyway. He writes this, under the auspices of sending these images. Now, this is called, I'm not going to get too deep into the forensic analysis of this and the crime or the criminal behavioral profiling of this, but it's clear this is a threat. But his writing is this, last year, crime and inflation crises largely evaporated. So he's given like a high five to Joseph Robinette, corn pop is a bad dude, Biden. And then he writes, so did the leading theories about what had caused them. Now, in the last sentence, well, in the first sentence, again, he's given the high five to Joe Biden. In the last sentence, you know, the theories about what caused high crime, inflation, and so on. are the policies of Biden. Okay, so for the radio listeners out there, on the left, the first picture reading left to right is a bullet hole.
A sea creature.
A sea creature. Yeah. Not great. Actually, you know, that does kind of... Anyway, unmistakable. Unless you're Eric the Tech, a bullet hole. Now, look, now, Eric the Tech, what's the right picture of someone holding what?
Cash.
How much? Count it. Count the money.
47?
47 dollars? Okay.
Those are dollars, yes.
Yeah. 47. So a bullet hole next to 47. You get where I'm going with this? You get it? Why not 50? Why not a $100 bill? I'm sure you've got them, Alex, in your pocket.
This is like PI school, kindergarten level.
This is Investigations 101, behavioral profiling. And actually, it's even less than that. It's just, it's criminal profiling for stupid people. And that, look, I don't mean to disparage anyone out there. The message is clear. You got a bullet hole and $47, but what's the magic in 47? Who will be the 47th president of the United States, or who's expected to be, I should say, and that's Donald J. Trump. So what's the message really here?
This ties in with the video you played Friday.
What video was that, sir?
About him saying we will not do the digital currency thing.
Oh, yes, yes. Because of all the things going on right now.
PI kindergarten.
PI 101. It would be easy for him to say, well, that's what I had in my pocket. Yeah, just put it out there. Look, you know, Steve Bannon says there are no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences. No, Steve, I'm going to tell you, there are conspiracies, big ones, and there are no coincidences when it comes to the world of politics and evil, and this is evil. The message is clear. Don't give me any crap about, well, you know, it was just a simple message about economics and about crime. No. I know a threat when I see one. That's a threat. There is that puke bag, Alexander, pencil neck, spawn of Satan Soros. Right there.
And everybody wants George to die. It don't matter.
It don't matter. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Alex. Alexander. There are more of us than there are of you. I got my business due going on right now. Why? Because I'm gearing up. I'm gearing up. I'm leaving the nest. I'm leaving the Hagman Studio lair. I do have some things lined up.
He is verified on Twitter, though.
Oh, well, so am I. Big flipping deal.
Does that mean Twitter actually is a free space?
Well, look... I don't know. No, because I don't know. Somebody did somebody sent me something on Twitter or something about Twitter where my posts are throttled. So, hey, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I don't know. What is the Hagman Report? It's something. It's in the program description box.
Do they work there?
Who? No. No, what I got was from a listener and a viewer who sent me, I don't know, you can do a search somehow, just see if you're shadow banned or throttled in some way. And I checked two of the, for my profile was two of the four boxes checked, but it doesn't matter. Look, here's, again, the starting out here, people better really realize that we are entering into a very precarious time over the next several months. The first area of danger will be from now until Election Day. And then once Election Day passes, and as I predict, Donald J. Trump will be, will overcome any kind of chicanery with respect to the, because I know a few things. I'm not going to give away some of the things I've been told, but I do know that there behind the scenes there's things going on that will avoid what happened in 2020 in terms of losing the election. How do I know this? Folks, you have to trust me on this. And again, talking about next month, we do hope to be meeting with a couple of people from Mar-a-Lago, not President Trump, but some people close to him, as well as perhaps into March in another area of the country, but more on that. And the reason we're taking it to the streets, the reason we're bouncing out of the lair.
Taking it to the streets.
I knew you were going to do that. But here's the reason. We have to act. And, you know, I could sit back here and flap my gums all day long, but until we act and until we get our act together and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is who we're going to talk to. Actually, I was invited to talk to one. The other, I put the invite out. And as long as we can pass a secret security check, which I think... I
you don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Eric the Tech is...
We'll just go in singing that. We'll pass.
Yeah, we'll pass, all right. I had a situation getting into the White House last time, so... go figure, right? I got fly.
Pulled out 40 razor blades from my wallet.
Well, that was at the airport, and it wasn't. It was one of those. Never mind.
Survival knife card things.
Yeah,
which card things?
I didn't even know it was in my. It was in my badge case, and they ripped open my badge and really hacked me off, man. And I'll tell you something. You get illegals going on airplanes that don't have to pass through the. Any type of screening, and that this pisses me off, and it should piss every one of you off, okay? Because they'll grope your wife, your daughter, they'll grope a disabled veteran, they'll grope anybody and put them through the ringer. But hey, if you come across the border and you're one of the illegal criminals, you got a free pass. Yeah, go ahead. Nah, you don't have to wait in line. Just go. And I think I might have something here to show you on that. All right. So I wanted to get that out there to underscore this veiled threat. Now, there are other threats coming from other places, but that should ring some alarm bells. Again, you might say, too much time on this. Who cares? Turn the channel. Well, do it at your own peril. All right. Just to give you an example of last week and over the last couple of days, what you missed. I do want to say this. Obviously, unless you've been living under a rock, you know DeSantis has bowed out of the race and made nice with President Trump. President Trump saying, oh, you know, okay, he's, you know, thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Now, you watch the next time DeSantis is in the news is going to be his divorce from his wife, Casey. Yeah, just saying. Put that on your bingo card for 25, 26. All right. China has endorsed the United Nations membership for the Palestinian nation, which doesn't exist, but they want it to exist. So China gets to say, yeah, let's get one. Also, in case you missed it, the Swedish parliament was Hunter Biden over in Sweden at the Swedish parliament? The reason I ask is they found traces of cocaine in the Swedish parliament. And I don't know whether Hunter Biden was over there. But hey, so this leads me to believe, or leads me to ask the question, who in the hell is not doing cocaine besides Eric the Tech and myself? I'm curious. Something else to keep your eye on. Again, this is, I'll talk more about this here momentarily, but the uprising, farmers in France, Romania, Germany, I'm telling you right now. But farmers from France have joined in the protest movement. This is a globalist movement against people like Alexander Soros. Lexi, we're going to call him Lexi Soros. They were lining roads with farming equipment, and their government, just to tell their government that they've had enough of this crap, this globalist bullshit. And I'm going to tell you something else. Millay and Roberts gave the mini dictators in Davos what for. You're going to see that in a moment. Another thing, they protest in New York City is actually the topic for debate. Is the Patriot Front group a white supremacist group, or is this a meeting of the Fed boys? Are they the only white supremacists that actually cover up their faces, being feds, and keep them covered during arrest? Have you seen that? I'm telling you what, the FBI has to be taken down and banished to the winds. Because the FBI, and this is a problem too, if you want to, develop an initiative to fight off the globalists, you will have a federal enforcement infiltration every single time. Now, also Ukrainian says that Romanian farmers are blocking borders to protest subsidies to Ukraine that are hurting their businesses. Now, let that sink in for a second. Yeah. Israel targeted Iranian officials with a bombing in Syria. Did you see that? Oh, keep your eye on that. This is World War III because you've got a weak executive, ice cream eating, potato head, hair sniffing.
Hey, I like ice cream.
Yeah, well, not as much as Joe Biden does.
Because you got him in the
executive office. I'm telling you, Corn Pop was a bad dude. Rub my legs, the hair on my legs. It stands up. The guy's a waste, man. He's a placeholder. He's a puppet, meat puppet for Obama. And Obama's merely the middle manager. I'm going to get into more on this here momentarily. Japan, did you know that they landed an unmanned vehicle on the moon? Nah, just saying. And those are some. Oh, let me show you this. Now, the image you had up before, what about the markets? Because I was talking to somebody over the weekend. And I was asking them about their thoughts. And somebody very, very, very good in terms of market history and future. And they were saying, silver might hit. Silver has a potential, depending on what the Fed does or what the Yellen does, to actually get into the teens. Now, gold is gold could go up as high as 2,400 this year. as could silver go up to 24, 25, or even 30. But it also has the downside potential to hover around in the 19s, 17, or 8, I'm sorry, 19s or 18s gold. It is possible. And then break out from there. And you've been hearing that forever, right? Me too. But they're running out of options. And I'm not talking about options on the trading market. I'm talking about options. They're running out of options. Debt is catching up. But gold right now is at 2022-27. Silver at 2212. Bitcoin, go figure, 40,759. The Dow at 37,863.
Good thing I bought it at a dollar.
And that's what, Bitcoin? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I want to be your friend. Actually, you can employ me if that's what you did. And the S&P, skirting around 5, but it's 4,800. And NASDAQ is at 15,300. Okay. Just to give you an idea of where we're at. As if, really, does that really matter? Does any of
that surprise you? We have a cold front coming through the northwest.
Yes, I'll do my green screen weather map. I want to be stormy weather. I want to be known as stormy weather.
You'd be a fun weatherman.
It couldn't handle me as a weatherman.
Always pissed off.
Oh man, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. God bless those who do. All right. Remember last week I told you about Fannie Willis. I said that story's going to have legs. Oh, and it's going to. Again, more on that momentarily. But there's some other things I want to show you. And I want to ask you this. I do have some really deep, in-depth research about Schwab, about the WEF that I want to get into. In my absence, would you like me to like pre-record some in-depth stuff? If you do, send me an email. I do read emails. I can't respond to them all. I can't respond to most. I've got 152.5 in my inbox. But let me know what you think. If you would listen or watch a pre-recorded in-depth on the World Economic Forum, on the people behind it specifically, instead of saying they all the time. Identify the people, identify the process, identify the methods, the plans, the plots, the schemes behind this. Let me know. All right. Amy Pope is in the news again. She is the Director General, speaking of the World Economic Forum, and this also addresses the border, specifically addresses the border. And this woman, in my particular opinion and view, is a traitor, is one of the most despicable human beings on the planet, and her name is Amy Pope. She is the Director General of the International Organization for Migration. Now, this is a UN operation. Get to know this name, because she needs to be schooled on the Constitution and American law. There's Amy Pope right there from New York. She's a traitor. Again, this is my assessment, my particular assessment. Amy Pope, know the name. Know these people. What did she do, you ask? Well, if we can play cut one. This is Amy Pope flapping her lips, her big, fat, red, fake red lips, talking about, the stellar nature of beautiful immigration. Go ahead and play cut one.
Hello from New York. I'm here representing IOM on our delegation to the 78th United Nations General Assembly High Level Week. Over the next 5 days, I will meet with fellow world leaders gathered here to address a wide array of global challenges. At IOM, we're focused on the challenges and the opportunities of human mobility. We'll be working with our member states, the private sector, and other partners to help stakeholders around the world harness the power of migration. We're developing bold, proactive solutions to build resilience in vulnerable communities against climate change, conflict, and other drivers of migration. We envision a world where fewer people are forced to migrate. And for those who do migrate, we're working to expand legal pathways to make sure all stakeholders reap the full benefits of migration. The countries of destination, the countries of origin, and of course, the migrants themselves.
All right. No, did you like that, Eric? I mean,
I've never seen somebody try to speak like they are a kind, welcoming person. She looks so awkward doing that.
Well, you know, non-sociopaths and non-psychopaths, when you speak knowing lies, I mean, obvious lies, you've got an internal conflict that does show, whether it's micro tremors or little tells, I don't know. I'm not saying that's what's happening there, but I'm just saying that exists. So, okay, who is Amy Pope? Why should we care? And what does this have to do with my life, our lives? Well, Amy Pope is the 12th directorate for the International Organization for Migration, which is a subsidiary of the UN. Understand that. Get to know the IOM. Get to know this traitor.
IOM.
This International Organization for Migration is the leading international or intergovernmental organization in the field of migration. They are committed to the principle that humane and orderly migration benefits migrants and society. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing humane or orderly about what we're seeing in the invasion of our southern border. It's part of the UN system as a related organization. They support migrants across the world. In other words, therefore, destroying all nations' borders, developing an effective responses, I should say, to the shifting dynamics of migration or invasion, and as such are a key source of advice on migration policy and practice. This puke is part of the Biden regime, as well as the World Economic Forum, Schwab, and the UN. That's Amy Pope. Again, you want to know who to get pissed off to? She's high on the list. The IOM is high on
IOM.
The list. IOM. Yeah. Now, why does this matter? More people are starting to get pissed off about the border invasion, and I'm glad. This is one sad story in cut two. Tammy Nobles had an autistic daughter. And notice I said had. And if you've ever buried a child, let me tell you something. It changes you. For whatever reason, it changes you. In this case, the circumstances around the loss of her child, unforgivable. Unforgivable. Play cut two.
Going on at the border. I had no clue what was going on before my daughter was brutally murdered and raped, but I do now. And I found the story is just so mind-boggling on how nobody at the border did their job and checked his background. All they had to do was make one phone call to El Salvador to know that he was an MS-13 gang member on the list. And it's just crazy how he got from Texas all the way to Maryland to being in the same trailer as my daughter.
Yeah. Tammy, how are you doing? How does your family survive something like this?
The only thing that I can come up with is that it's God. It is helping me along this path. I want everyone to know what is going on at the border.
I have a different take other than Tammy. How do you move on? Anger. Sheer anger. Sheer determination to put a stop to what's going on and to punish those facilitating this. And I've showed you on this platform time after time after time, the Customs and Border Patrol acting as concierge to the invaders. I've showed you 94 executive orders related to the southern border by that meat puppet Biden, okay, that allows this invasion to take place.
And we just say, F you, angel moms.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, I spent time with the angel moms in Washington, D.C., and every story has obviously an unhappy ending, but every one could have been avoided had we done the job at the southern border. And we're not doing the job at the southern border. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders was on Face the Nation on Sunday. And she told Face the Nation, well, when Trump was in office, we had fewer getaways, gotaways, whatever. We had fewer incursions. We had fewer everything at the southern border. Did you know that Donald Trump talked Mexico into putting 28,000 military troops along not just the northern Mexican border, but the southern Mexican border? 28,000 military troops. It wasn't easy. Did you know that? And people say, well, he didn't do anything. Yeah, he did. Now, he made some backroom deals behind that 28,000 Mexican troops. Northern Mexican border, southern Mexican border. And, of course, stay in Mexico, remain in Mexico. He was big on that, got them to accept that policy. He also built over 500 miles of border wall. And you might say, oh, no, he didn't. No. Yeah, he did. Some of the border wall, where they said there was wall and it was a redo, kind of a refurbishing of the wall. No, it was friggin' chicken wire. It wasn't a wall. That's what Donald Trump did. So the globalists, and keep this in mind.
Your 6-foot fence in your backyard is a better wall.
Absolutely. So keep this in mind. Right now, you are seeing the largest foreign invasion of our country you've ever seen. Ever. And the mainstream, not even the mainstream, the captured corporate media is actually saying, no. The border is secure. You got that puke Mayorkas, who I'd like 5 minutes in a room without security. I might look. He might take a piece out of me, but I guarantee you, I'm going down. If I'm going down, I'm going down.
What's the latest scoop on Abbott taking over Texas border? Okay. Is that just a political move?
Okay, and thanks for asking that. In fact, I got an email about that. Yeah, okay, there is some. Okay, so 90% of that is show. It's all show. I don't trust Abbott. I wouldn't trust Abbott as far as I could throw him in his wheelchair, okay?
No, because he would have had control of that border since day one.
Exactly.
The whole thing.
Exactly. Now, he can see the political writing on the wall where, okay, Looks like President Trump might get us another term if he survives the danger ahead, or we could have another conservative in that office. So I better do something for my political capital. And yes, so he put the National Guard down there, but it's all show. A lot of it is for show, but the collateral part of that is. Interestingly, you brought this up, and again, I was looking into it this weekend. There's a collateral side to this where this is the Fed versus the states. Now, there are three border states, 1,954 miles of border, of open border, minus the controlled points of entry, 1,954 miles. And so the largest state border bordering Mexico is Texas. So what he did was he put some people down there. He put some obstacles down there. And, oh, the left, you should hear them. I mean, I go on these membership forums for the left, and they're all saying, well, Abbott is a killer of kids and women. My gosh, two people drowned in the Rio Grande. Well, stop crossing. I got an idea. Stop it.
What about our kids?
What about our kids? Hey, what about Tammy Noble's daughter? If that doesn't piss anybody off, I don't know. If that was your daughter, or if that was my granddaughter, I guarantee you, do I have to say it? The man, if my granddaughter was ever raped and killed by anybody, but especially an illegal, that criminal would never see the inside of a courtroom. I guarantee you. And this is where it, look, in my view, and this might seem radical to some, oh, you can't be a Christian and say that. Yeah, I can. You'll never see the inside of a courtroom. Prison would be known as protective custody, and even there you will not be safe. So Tammy Nobles, I applaud your Christian-like attitude toward this. I don't have it in me. I can neither forgive nor forget. That's up to me. I'll deal with that. You don't have to comment on that. But see, we have these people coming, and the other thing that Tammy Nobles said too was a simple call to El Salvador would have, and this is a guy that was living in the same area, the same locale as her daughter. And he was let in by the Biden regime, by that cue ball piece of crap Mayorkas. And you know, I realize too what I'm saying against the head of the Department of Homeland Security. Mayorkas should be strung up, drawn and quartered, in my particular opinion. That guy is a traitor to this country. He's a traitor to the Constitution. And he's just an evil, evil, evil son of a bitch. Talk about the spawn of Satan. He's given Alexander Soros a run for his money. But anyway, I digress. Let's go to cut three, Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Face the Nation yesterday. Caught you by surprise, didn't I? Yeah. Oh, watch this. Hang on.
Our border was far more secure under President Trump than under President Biden. I had the chance to go to the border myself, and while I was there, met with those who are standing on the front lines, including members of the Arkansas National Guard that we deployed because the federal government is not doing their job. States are having to step up. And in meeting with those individuals, they told us that more people had come across in just that month on the terrorist watch list than in the entire 4 years of Donald Trump's presidency. Donald Trump was actually taking steps to secure our border, to strengthen our country. It's hard to argue that having a good economy, having safe and secure.
Yeah, it's hard to argue about that. at least about the border. I do expect once Donald Trump gets back in office, again, assuming he survives the onslaught of leftist and deep state operatives, and I pray every day for his safety, I would expect day one to be very interesting. But I also expect day one to set off a firestorm of civil unrest, civil disobedience, riots at the hands of Antifa, BLM, and of course paid for in compliments of the feds. And I got something to show you. Just hang with me. Yeah.
If you went down to the border.
Yes.
And you just walked across into Mexico. What would happen to you?
Well, if I'm caught by the federales, okay, I'd probably get caned or spanked. Not caned. That's Singapore. But, I'd probably get escorted back across after maybe a brief stint in a prison. But I do know some people who cross the border.
Crossing without telling anybody you're crossing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not at a checkpoint, nothing.
Well, interestingly enough, I know if somebody does cross and actually gets the cross, it makes it like a mile long journey and then gets a ride. I'm not going to give the specifics. Goes to a clinic down there, picks up some medication and crosses back the same way. And this person told me, I have never seen any type of law enforcement from either side at all.
We can just go wander.
Yeah. And the reason this person does it that way. And I said, well, you've got a passport. You can cross at the point of the points of entry. And he said to me, why?
Now, what if you did that on our northern border?
Why not? I mean, what if? I suspect you'd have the same welcome.
So if you sneak across,
and
let's say you come back through like a border check.
Okay. Oh, you'd have some problems because, if you, and that's the thing. Look,
immigrants, there's no problem.
No, of course not. But I in the northern border, I've been up in, I'm not going to say where, but there are numerous places, especially off of, I'll just say Indian reservations for one. That's just one of many, but places you can go right across into Canada, do whatever you got to do, and come back.
Get some syrup. Across.
What's that? Get some.
Go get some syrup.
Maple syrup, that's right. Or take a lesson in.
Some bacon.
Canadian bacon, yeah. Or take a lesson in how to be a... Never mind, I won't say the word.
A hockey stick.
But as useful as that. All right. You can tell it's Monday. But there's a lot of stuff going on. If you didn't see this, and I'm going to do this in steps, in levels. Number one.
Also, would you get $2,000 for coming back across? You get rewarded?
Not as an American citizen. I don't believe you would. You'd have to claim citizenship or prove citizenship of another country and then, of course, come across. And by the way, all you have to do down at the southern border is just look on the ground and you can pick up fake ID on the ground or not fake ID, fake to you, but real ID because what the criminals do in order to cross is to drop their passports, drop their identification, and in some cases even drop their money issued at the country of origin to come across as these illegal migrants. Oh, poor me. And Ben Berkwam, and especially Michael Yon and Vandersteel, who I met in D.C., in fact, I expect to have another or a meeting with, never mind. But I should do a Biden anyway. No, You could pick up false identification or false to you anywhere along the 1954 linear miles of the southern border. I'm telling you, it's that easy. But no, you wouldn't, as an American citizen, you wouldn't get the $2,000. You wouldn't get put up in the Roosevelt Hotel.
You get the smackdown.
You get the smackdown because
zero common sense.
But see, this is the war. Now, okay,
let's have a war.
Let's
friggin' do it.
And you know why people? Because I intend to go to the southern border as well. To look. But my trip to the southern border would involve an AR-15 at the very least, and a whole crap ton of full mags. Okay,
because listen, the citizens can do it.
They should do it.
I think the problem is the funding.
Well,
because people, I mean,
we've been warned off.
We have to work. We have to make money. You can't work when you're down standing on a border.
But we've
24/7 for months on end.
But we have enough. We have enough people who are retired military, retired law enforcement, who would gladly do that. Would gladly form militias and go down there. But the problem is, you've got a captured Department of Justice on the federal level. And in the states, minus Texas, which I think is moving toward doing something through the Attorney General Ken Paxton. Again, we're going to see more on that. But keep your mind open about Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton is probably the only Texas politician as Attorney General. He's a hell of a lot better than Abbott and has more promise to get something done with the southern border than anyone else down there. Just keep that in mind. But so what's pushing this? What's driving this? And people will say, well, it's the World Economic Forum. It's the UN. It's whatever. I showed you Amy Pope. Amy Pope is the face, such as it is, of the IOM. Remember that acronym? Remember the International Organization of Migration? It's a subsidiary of the UN. Remember that? Okay, let's go a little deeper here. Now, we talk about this, right? You and I. You and I, and I say you and I, this platform, I speak about this, but Davos. Let's go to, because Davos, the last plane left, I think, this past weekend. All right. What was their meeting about? Was it about Agenda 2030? What was the substance of their meeting? So there were three things that happened that you need to know about Davos. Number one, what was the focus or foci, plural, of the WEFers at Davos? What was it? Do you know? Yes. 5, 4, 3. Go ahead. No. That's you in the back. That's right. The focus was, we're losing the narrative, so we've got to do something about that. We're getting too much pushback. We've got to censor or create the framework of censorship. So we're going to go to cut 4. This is a minute 57 in length. This is Nora Bin Laden talking to my friend Jack Posobiec, because Nora Bin Laden was there, whatever. Okay.
It stinks to have that last name.
It is what it is, right? And hey, Nora Bin Laden, if she can speak the truth. I mean, she was there. And we must never associate, by the way. This is something in court will tell you this. The Constitution tells you this. You don't associate.
Constitution?
Yeah, the Constitution. Yeah, what's the that? U.S. Constitution.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you don't. The crimes of one, if you subscribe to that, the crimes of one member of a family do not follow the other members of the family.
It's very true.
So, you know, just like if my pops was a bank robber, okay, and made a name for himself and robbing banks, that should not follow me. That's in the.
However, though, if your last name's Hitler,
well, that's a problem. And there are some living relatives on Long Island of Hitler.
Yeah,
just saying. Now that you brought that up, a little tidbit of useless knowledge, but let's hear from Jack Posobiec again, a friend of mine. Him and his wife and beautiful children. What a nice family. But he was talking to Noor bin Laden on human events. This is a minute 57 out of that, about the World Economic Forum making internet censorship their top priority during this meeting. Listen and remember this. There it is.
It seems, though, that this theme really wasn't climate change. It wasn't even necessarily Ukraine. It was really more about censorship of the internet and specifically targeting X. What were your impressions?
Great to be with you, Jack. Listen, there was a plethora of topics. Nothing was spared, but you're absolutely right. The focus was censorship. And it kickstarted, the week kickstarted very strongly with that topic, because ahead of the WEF annual meeting kickoff, the World Economic Forum released their Global Risks Report. And in that report was featured a table with the top 10 risks for the next 2 years. And number one on that list ranked was disinformation and misinformation. And so throughout the week, everything that was discussed, the underlying subject was disinformation and misinformation, and how they need to essentially censor the speech of, quote, us conspiracy theorists. This term was used as well on different panels this week, and this is their main focus, because 2024 is a critical year, especially when it comes to elections. And this is also something that was discussed on multiple panels this week. It was very much the main topic of conversation, especially with President Trump winning the Iowa caucus and coming on really strong. I said it on Steve's War Room. You know, they've been living MAGA, and President Trump have been living rent free in the heads of the people here at Davos throughout the week. And even though President Trump wasn't here, he was very much the center of conversation here in Davos.
And everyone that I've listened to about Davos, whatever, the party there, the globalists, the World Economic Forum, they were saying that they were so fearful of President Trump resuming office or being reelected as the 47th president of the United States. They are planning their next moves around that election. Now, you might think that all of the people, because Donald Trump went to Davos, all of the people who go there, well, they're globalists, right? They just love Klaus Schwab. They love the idea of Davos. Now, hold on a second, because there were two people, count them, two, Argentinian President Javier Milei, and I'm sure you've probably seen this if you've been on social media or if you've been on the internet, and Kevin Roberts, I'm sorry. Now, I had two videos, one alone of Javier, the president of Argentina, and then the other of Kevin Roberts. I think what we'll do is we'll just play cut five. Cut six will be in the program description box, but to avoid duplication, we'll play cut five next. This is in part Kevin Roberts, but it does give you a little bit of Milei talking. I mean, he stood up there and said, "Long live freedom, damn it." Okay, that's how we start off with. And I'm pretty sure this clip has that in it. This is, I believe this is from Steve Gruber from Real America's Voice. But watch this. This is going to be about four and a half minutes. Okay, but it's worth every second of it. I'm not going to interrupt this. Ordinarily, I wouldn't opine unnecessarily. But listen to the entire thing, because I could not do a better job in explaining what happened and the two people who really threw the monkey in the wrench. Is that the thing? Or threw the fly in the ointment at Davos. And Millie, when he was talking, that piece of crap Schwab got up and walked out on him. He wasn't happy. Wasn't happy. Good for him. Let's take cut five and listen to and watch Steve Gruber. Here it is.
The big story this week remains in Davos, Switzerland. We've heard the blathering lunatics going on about how they know what's best for the world and mostly what's best for everyone else on the planet. Can you imagine getting up every day and setting out to tell everyone else what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do? And can you imagine doing that using completely false narratives about migration, climate change, misinformation, and those evil dictators waiting in the wings? Well, the real threat to the world is exactly those things that are being pursued by you. Now, it seems to me that the greatest projectionism ever witnessed is happening again in Davos this week. But a few people stood up and threw it in their elitist faces over the past few days. People like the new president of Argentina, Javier Milei, who says the socialist, collectivist mentality is a failure. And he was terrific. And more importantly, he was right. But I must say, the best in show for me goes to the president of the Heritage Foundation, Kevin Roberts, who was with us last week on the program, who completely leveled the entire globalist agenda and the false case against former President Donald Trump. He did it in about 4 or 5 minutes. And first, he laid down the guidelines for all the so-called elites in attendance to hear what he had to say loud and clear.
The kind of person, and I'll be candid here because I think I've been invited here to be candid. The kind of person who will come into the next conservative administration is going to be governed by one principle, and that is destroying the grasp that political elites and unelected technocrats have over the average person. And if I may, I will be candid and say that the agenda that every single member of the administration needs to have is to compile a list of everything that's ever been proposed at the World Economic Forum and object all of them wholesale. Anyone not prepared to do that and take away this power of the unelected bureaucrats and give it back to the American people is unprepared to be part of the next conservative administration.
I completely agree. Reject everything that comes out of Davos. Reject everything that comes from these elitists like John Kerry and Al Gore and Klaus Schwab. It seems the World Economic Forum invited people like Milei and Heritage's Kevin Roberts because they are very scared of the possibility of a Donald Trump presidency, which is becoming more real by the day, and what that could mean for their globalist agenda and plans. They also know that conservatives around the world don't trust them one bit, as you just heard, and for good reason. So they're trying to get a sense of what real conservatives think after decades of thinking they know, but actually know nothing about us. They don't know me or what I believe. And Roberts certainly let them know, because once he was rolling, he just kept picking up speed. He leaned into the list, into the agenda of the things that must be targeted first by President Trump or whomever has the chance to dismantle this globalist mess. And he had very specific items to deal with. Things that he says Donald Trump will fight for to protect average Americans going forward beginning January of 2025. Listen.
It's laughable that you would, or anyone would, describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. It's
equally, standing up for it.
It's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. In fact, I think that's absurd. But I'm going to step aside from that constructive criticism and instead answer your question.
Yep.
And I'm going to be substantive here. President Trump, if he's the next president, for that matter, I think whoever the next conservative president is going to take on the power of the elites, which I mentioned earlier. But the thing that I want to drive home here, the very reason that I'm here at Davos, is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, but that you're part of the problem. Political elites tell the average people on 3 or 4 or 5 issues that the reality is X, when in fact reality is Y. Take immigration. Elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life. They're right. President Trump will take that on behalf of the average American.
And Kevin Roberts, he, of course, is absolutely right. Those in Davos tell us that unfettered immigration is a good thing. And we should allow millions of people completely unvetted and some incompatible with our way of life to just come into our country for the betterment of the world. Yes.
All right. I think that speaks for itself. I love it. We didn't, do we? I don't think Malay was in there, but you get the idea. And in fact, the speech by Malay, the important part will be it at HagmanPI.com. And just open up the episode description. But here is the deep dive, because this affects all of us. For example, the World Economic Forum, this nothing, this powerless entity, given power only by its association with the United Nations, and the fact that they've had a 50-year running start on infiltrating governments, for example, Trudeau, and many others, and even in the U.S., Kemp, Brian Kemp. I don't have to go on, but you get the idea. So a little bit of a deep dive, but coming up here. But here's how it affects you. You know, the Boeing Airlines, the doors are falling off. You've read about that. You've heard about that, right?
I love when that happens.
Yeah. Boy, what a rush that is. You're sitting there and all of a sudden the door falls off. Well, why?
Just sucked right out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can. It happened in Hawaii some number of years back. But so why is that happening? It's because of the World Economic Forum. Well, wait a second. If they don't have any elected power, how is that even possible? Because they give you two things. There's three pillars to the World Economic Forum, but the first pillar is the diversity, equity, and inclusion that 98% of the Fortune 100 companies have signed on to, along with ESG scores, environmental, societal, or social, and governance. So you've got DEI and ESG, two acronyms you should become familiar with.
No MSG.
No MSG, just ESG. Ay, ay, ay. MSG would be better for you, actually. So, and the emphasis behind the World Economic Forum went from, it was birthed by Schwab because of Kissinger back in 1971. And folks, let me know, seriously, either in the comments on Rumble or Brighteon or by an email, Doug@HagmanReport.com. If you would be interested in hearing some of the nuts and bolts of the World Economic Forum and how it impacts current society and current businesses, because this is Bank of America, for example. Okay, they're one of numerous banks who've signed on to this DEI, ESG, and are punishing corporations and people who aren't signed on to this ideology. And you'll notice other platforms as well.
It needs to disintegrate.
Exactly. You heard Kevin Roberts up there saying it's a bunch of crap. The stuff you're spouting is a bunch of nonsense. It's dictatorial, and you're the ones behind it. And you heard some of the blowback that he got, right? And Donald Trump would come in. And I do believe this, given what I know. Now, I'm not going to tell you everything I know, but what I know is are the regulations in place based on DEI and ESG standards. And you, if you find this boring, go somewhere else. But listen, this is so important. So first of all, real quick, Klaus Schwab, we talk about him all the time. Do you know who he is? Do you know his history, real history? Do you know that's not even his name? Did you know that? Let's put Bug Boy up there. Okay. The money behind WEF and this piece of crap, this guy out of Central Casting, came from the Rockefeller Foundation and Gates. Bill Gates. And by the way, the World Economic Forum is an outgrowth of the Club of Rome.
I just want to shake his neck skin.
Shake his neck skin. He's got it, boy. I'll tell you what. But it's but it's part of the Good Club. I've talked about them before. But it's not growth of the Club of Rome. I like that. I can't do that noise. Anyway. But Klaus Martin Schwab was born on March 30th, 1938, in none other than Ravensburg, Germany. And if you're familiar with Ravensburg, that's the home of the Ravensburg Castle. And I've got to say, a lot of satanic rituals occurred in Ravensburg Castle. If you remember Russ Dizdar talking about Ravensburg Castle and about the skulls and about all of the satanic stuff that went on by the Nazis at Ravensburg.
Is that the one that Russ went to?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So he was born in Ravensburg, which is, just for so you know, it's halfway between Munich and Zurich in Switzerland, close to the Swiss border. Now, at the time he was born, Ravensburg was the epicenter of the Nazi eugenics program and became the first city to forcibly sterilize citizens by the hundreds. Now, Schwab's father, Eugene Wilhelm Schwab, was a managing director of a Zurich-based subsidiary of an engineering firm called Escher Weiss, which is a major supplier, or was a major supplier, in the Nazi war effort. And one of Hitler's national, it was a model national company, okay? Eugene Schwab himself was a Nazi collaborator. I can talk. I'm pulling my, I'm getting summoned by Robinette Biden. Now, he belonged to several German National Socialist groups, including two of the most prominent pro-Nazi organizations, the German Labor Front and the National Socialist People Welfare. His Ravensburg branch of Escher Weiss used war prison slave labor to manufacture industrial war machinery. That's his dad. Now, working for Escher Weiss, his dad represented Swiss interests in Germany. While the engineering firm had business contracts with Nazi mineral companies, and they actually made flamethrowers, okay? Yeah, for use against the U.S. soldiers. That's the family. That's the family. The firm, Escher Weiss, had this impressive technological track record and even built a turbine for a plutonium nuclear reactor, which was one of the first in the world, but exclusive for Nazi use. Did you know that? And while his father was working for the Nazis, Klaus was too young for involvement in Hitler's regime, but growing up there, it left a lasting impression. It seems that he was unable to associate his national identity with Germany amid the chaos of the failed Nazi regime. So instead he became what he calls a citizen of the world. That's where this guy came from. and how this bug boy, this Satan, satanic guy, well, that's, I mean, he followed in his father's
footsteps. We should call him the Raven.
The Raven. Right? You know, that might stick. What do you think? I'm down with that, the Raven.
Or a Raven's too cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't want to offend the Ravens.
Yeah, that's true. but so he publicly, and has done so recently, publicly credited his parents for teaching him the value of education, collaboration. And collaboration works, it's kind of a funky thing, who you collaborate with. And the idea that would become central to his worldview, and that is the stakeholder principle. Please understand what the stakeholder principle is. I'm not going to get into it today, but anytime you hear the word stakeholder, you know you are in bad company. But after he graduated from high school in 57, college in 62, he had a degree in mechanical engineering, which gives you the ability to run the world, apparently. And he landed his first major job in 63 as a personal assistant to the managing director of the German Machine Building Association. And he worked there until 66, earned a PhD at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology that same year. He got a doctorate in economics the next year and a master's in public administration from Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government. Why shouldn't that surprise you? Well, it was at that point when he hooked up with Henry, pray with me, Henry Kissinger, a close friend, a confidant, and a very well-paid advisor to the Rockefellers. But Schwab's career took off. In 67, he joined the management of Sulzer Eicher Weiss AG. Gee, where do we hear that before? Yeah. Yep, same company, different name, different iteration. And again, a merged successor entity of the Nazi wartime supplier where his father worked in Zurich. So that's who this bug boy is. Now, let me go on just a tad further here. And again, if you like this depth, then let me know, because I'll give you the whole rundown on this. But he wrote a book in 71. It was a manifesto on, I guess, modern management techniques and mechanical engineering. It doesn't work too good for Boeing, but I digress. It was designed to address management methods and their applications to competition, and opens, and I'm going to read this from his book. Do I have it? Uh-huh. Let me read this. No war, no strike, however long, no serious economic crises can restrict the development opportunities of a national industrial sector as much as modern, more successful management methods in the hands of competitive industries in other countries. So what he was urging or arguing is that as companies grow, they can reduce costs, but warns that similar innovation by corporate rivals often results in fierce price competition. Now, that depending on the severity and duration of this competition, it can squeeze profits or even cause losses. So if a company wants to increase its market share, one of his recommendations is to temporarily or completely eliminate the competitors. You see now? You see? You got to get rid of the competition. Okay. So he developed this stakeholder concept within the Great Reset. And that book that he wrote, it explained one of the earliest versions of his stakeholder economy, which is the first pillar of the Great Reset that everyone is talking about. You know, build back better, that's the Great Reset. Part of that, a first pillar, is stakeholder economy. And this theory contends that companies should be responsible not solely to the shareholders, but rather to this unknown, unidentified group of stakeholders. And he described that theory in an op-ed that he wrote back in 2000. Now, I'm not going to read this, the op-ed, but he describes it. Now, he adapted the stakeholder concept into this brand new economic system he calls stakeholder capitalism. If there was ever an oxymoron, it's stakeholder capitalism. But what he did was he used that model to build the economy of communist China. Communist China is built on stakeholder capitalism, compliments of that bug dude. Okay, it's the tyrannical state capitalism model, which was, by the way, communist China, their current economy, you know who developed it? The model for China's current economy? That's right. You in the front row, you get a star, you get a cookie. Kissinger, Rockefeller, and the WEF. Okay, now, his work in the private sector for the Swiss engineering firm, I got to say, the offshoot of what I said before, although nearly 50 years, it was short-lived, but 50 years would pass before Schwab penned his next stakeholder manifesto. And he spent the time, during that time, the 50 years, building this multinational machine, the World Economic Forum, which would become the primary driving force for the replacement of democracy and capitalism with a far more radical system, which, of course, is known as stakeholder capitalism and the baby of the WEF. And people like Kissinger, a regular one time, of course, before he, you know, went 10 toes up, assumed room temperature. He was a regular WEF attendee and keynote speaker. But industry titans like the Rockefellers and Bill Gates, they had already formed even more secretive groups, such as I said, the Good Club, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberger Group. These are groups that you hear about, but maybe don't connect to anything. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, and the key global influencers were easy supporters and early supporters of the WEF. And this is how the WEF came into existence, because this guy connected those companies or those organizations and built the WEF. And the Davos Forum began as an excuse for these wealthy business people to take a delightful vacation on a company expense account. And that was reported back in 1981. But with every passing year, the forum's group, it grew along with the prestige of its membership. And by the 1990s, its cheerleading for globalization earned the WEF a very positive reputation among globalist decision makers and multinational corporations. And by the way, not long before Clinton made him one of America's top diplomats, Strobe Talbot, remember that name, Strobe Talbot, declared in 1992 that nationhood as we know it will be obsolete. That's what they're trying to do now, is destroy nationalism and embrace populism. And Strobe Talbot, thank you, Bill Clinton and Strobe Talbot, in 1992. Look. The got a lot of notes here. Out of that stakeholder capitalism model grew ESG scores, which is the second pillar of the Great Reset. Build back better. ESG represents three major lines of attack. The World Economic Forum, which they plan to wage against corporations, American corporations, who do not possess the Davos spirit. The E in ESG means that the company must comply with the World Economic Forum's climate change. The S means compliance with the WEF's social agenda. You know, the rainbow flag crap, the logos, the LGBTQ, BLT crap. That's coming from the World Economic Forum, the Club of Rome, Bill Gates, and all of the global, quote, elite, in other words, scumbags. Now, the G for governance, that's a little bit less, it's more elusive. But since Schwab, since he announced the importance of ESG scores back in his mid-2020, results have been astonishing. As of June of 2022, more than $35 trillion in worldwide assets are invested in ESG-compliant companies. And this also goes to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You saw, I think, the head of the CEO of United Airlines dressed in drag doing a dance. Did you see that? While his doors on his plane are falling off. If you don't think this affects you, you're not paying attention. And who in the hell is fighting against these madmen like the guy you see on your screen? Well, you've got Donald Trump. Who else? Not Nikki Haley, who's funded by the very dark money, the same dark money that's being invested into this crap. So if you like this crap, if you want to be a slave, if you want to get deplatformed, censored, then vote for Nikki Haley.
And she wants to push retirement age to 70.
There you go. Why not? We can work until, you know what? We should work after we're dead. Yeah. Let's push it to 75, 80. I know. Hey, Grandma, come here. That's right. Get off your rocking chair and get your ass to work. I ask you, what you just heard there was me consulting my copious notes. Did you learn anything? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's like, oh, but you would. I could dig a lot deeper. Do you want a special? Do you want me to record some specials for when I'm gone?
Yep.
Yep. You got the first
one. I think you should do like a four part.
We might do a four
part. Maybe a five.
Maybe a five. But see, here's because a lot of people are out there and they're either misinformed, uninformed. Well, let me back up. They're either uninformed. They don't know about this, which, man, that's hard to believe. But OK, they're there. Misinformed because they're shooting at targets, but the wrong targets. Or they don't give a shit. To you folks, I say, I don't care if you go in peace, just go. My goodness, I think I've used up my time. I have, haven't I?
No more MSG.
No more, man.
For you. Makes you crazy, man.
New Soma. You're going to be hearing about that. I've been taking that. New Soma. NUSOMA. I'm speaking before I should, but we partnered up with somebody that's got some good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. I'm not going to go into the interview with President Trump because you can get that anywhere.
And you only have a minute.
Yeah. Folks, keep in mind Fannie Willis. You got to keep in mind Fannie Willis. That is going to leave a mark. She is going to concede the stuff that she has done. Also, the January 6th Fed surrection is becoming more and more and more absolutely, it's not what you think it is. It was all plotted, planned, and schemed by Pelosi, by actually helped by Pence, but the Capitol Police were involved, some members, I should say, of the Capitol Police. Many members of Congress were involved to get Trump pinched for this insurrection crap. But this was all a giant setup. Revolver.news has a fantastic expose on the pipe bomber, which, by the way, you don't hear anything about. And for the record, I think that pipe bomb planter was a female. Just saying.
Rare.
Where or rare?
Rare.
Rare. Well, check that video out. The link for revolver.news will be in the program description guide. God bless everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And hey, we're on the road. We mean business. Business. God bless.